Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, the Bennett Automotive Group, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now, here's your host, Jason Bishop.
Welcome to the Camden County Coaches Show with head coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment of the Wildcats Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, Brunswick Adventures, Marshland Credit Union, and by Jessup Furniture. And now joining us, the head coach of the Camden County Wildcats, Coach Jeff Herron. Coach, thanks for taking the time.
No problem. Good morning, Jason.
Coach, we're coming off of a pretty good win, 37-7 win over the Glen Academy Red Terriers. Talk a little bit to me about your team's effort.
Well, yeah, it was a pretty good win. As I said to you a little earlier there before we got on the air, you know, any win right now would have been a good win. We just needed to win. And certainly made for a whole lot more enjoyable Friday night and a whole lot more enjoyable weekend to kind of get that monkey off our back. But, you know, this is going to sound worse than it should probably, but, you know, I could see it coming. I certainly felt like, and I think our staff did, that, you know, that we were very close, and you know, we just clicked on a few more cylinders this Friday night, and we played better, and you know, Glenn's got a good football team, they're well coached, but we got some breaks early, and we had not had those, and all of a sudden, you know, we kind of got on a roll, and again, it felt good. I had forgotten what that felt like, and it felt good to experience it again.
The first possession of the football game, our first offensive possession, we get the ball, and we drive down the field, and we get in a fourth and whatever it was, and we were in field goal range. Any thought at all about going for it there, or were you dead set on the field goal?
Well, I was, you know, we were going to kick the field goal in that situation. You know, I learned my lesson there against Columbia, I guess. And, you know, we've got a great field goal kicker. So we had messed up on third down, and I was still angry about that because it was the same problem we had at Brunswick in that we were trying to check a play, and we didn't get it done. And, you know, I'm not going to cast blame on anybody, but it's something that we'd worked on, thought we had fixed, and, you know, it didn't happen. And so we ran a play on third down that we probably shouldn't have. We should have ran something a little differently. And anyway, you know, so while I was dealing with that frustration, I just yelled field goal, and then we go kick a field goal. But, you know, again, we had not been ahead in the first half this year.
Wow, yeah.
And so I felt like, yes, getting the first points on the board and kicking a field goal was by far the smartest thing we could do at that point, because of the way the first two games had gone.
Coach, you kick the field goal, and then we get up 10-0. Talk about the touchdown to put us up 10-0.
Well, you know, we had a good drive, you know, and you know, we in between that, I think, if I can remember correctly, you know, we should have scored, and we misconnected on a pass, and we wound up missing a field goal. Actually, our kicker's first miss of anything all year. And, you know, so, again, as soon as we got the ball back, we drove down and scored and, you know, had a good drive. So, you know, we were talking about this. We had two drives last week that were longer play-wise than any drives we had all of last year. And so we're getting to the point where it seems like we're able to drive the ball a little bit longer, sustain drives, not make stupid penalties. So that was a good drive to put us up 10-0. And, you know, really kind of, you know, just felt in control at that point because the defense was playing good. And, you know, so that was a good drive for us.
This is the Camden County Coaches Show with Coach Jeff Herron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Coach, 10-0, we're up. And Tyree Young, you know, have yourself a night, why don't you? Two interceptions, including a pick six, and right there before the half. He's already got one interception under his belt. You know, from my untrained eyes from the booth, we get pressure on their quarterback. It looks like they wanted to to run a play where they rolled him to his right and then threw it back to his left. And Tyree Young steps up, picks the ball off, and there's nobody in front of him, and he scores a touchdown to put us up 17-0. I felt like that was a huge play in a football game.
Oh, I did too. It was a huge play. I mean, you know, they had a tough predicament. You know, it was fourth down for them, and, you know, less than a minute in the first half, and they're down 10-0, and, you know, I think it was fourth and four, fourth and five, somewhere in those lines. So, you know, I was not at all surprised by their decision to go for it, because I think, you know, they probably looked at it like, well, if we don't make it, you know, Camden, they're up 10-0, they're not going to do anything stupid, and, you know, it's not going to change the game. But, you know, that old adage, when you throw the ball, three things can happen, and two of them are bad. Well, the worst possible one happened for them, and, you know, it was a play where we had seen it on film, and, you know, they delayed the tight end and then tried to bring him all the way back across the field, and we did get a little pressure in the kid's face, and he overthrew it. And when he overthrew it, it hit Tyree right in the hands, and he was running 100 miles an hour down through there. Actually, we wear these sensor things now. He was running at 20 point something miles an hour, maybe 21.
Yeah.
He was going. And, you know, to go from 10-0 to 17-0 the last minute of the first half was really a huge momentum shift for us.
Sure was. Coach, you get to the half, and now, like you just said, up 17-0. You got to feel good about where you are with your team. Any specific message during halftime, and what did you say to your kids at the half?
Well, as soon as, you know, we got in there, I congratulated them on how they played, because, you know, again, we had not been ahead, you know, at halftime yet. But then I reminded them that, you know, we had watched Glenn in Statesboro on film, and Glenn had been down 14 points twice in the second half and came back to win the game in overtime against Statesboro. So I knew we couldn't relax, and I knew that Glenn wasn't going to quit. And so I reminded them of that, and, you know, then we just do what we normally try to do is start making adjustments on things that we didn't do well. And we came out and played really well in the second half, and that was a real good sign for us.
We get the ball in the second half, if my memory serves me correctly, and we score on that first possession, put ourselves up 24-0, and then, you know, I felt really good about being up 24 points on the Red Terriers. Like you said, you know, the Statesboro game certainly was something that I had in my mind too. I felt like, Coach, that throughout the football game there was a physicality that we played with. I felt like that we dominated the game physically. Did you feel the same way?
Well, I don't want to say we dominated or whatever, but I felt like we were very physical. I don't think there's any question of that. There were some plays that you could kind of tell that we were being a little maybe more physical than they were. But you know, our defense was playing well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I quite honestly, you know, I felt like at halftime, you know, that the game was in hand. No matter what I told the kids, because our defense was playing really well. Now, you know, again, anything could happen. Momentum can shift. But I felt like if we went out there and started the third quarter in the way that we did, that, you know, we'd be able to finish it off, because we were playing well. And, you know, the defense was flying around hitting people. We were doing that on special teams. And offensively, you know, we were able to run the ball and control the clock. And, you know, so – It turned out to be a good second half for us as well.
More to come on the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
You love the game, but you don't love the pain. From the moment an injury sidelines you, turn to the experts at Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery to get you back in the game quickly and safely. Our winning team of physicians and orthopedic surgeons work with everyone from weekend warriors to high school and professional athletes. We'll design a game plan just for you. We'll help you navigate diagnosis, treatment, surgery, and physical therapy using the latest techniques and technology. And we'll even show you the best ways to prevent future injuries. To play your best, you need to work with the best. Visit sghs.org/summit. Or call 912-466-7340 to learn more and schedule your appointment. That's 912-466-7340.
Are you looking for a better way to bank? Hometown people that you know? Look no further than Marshland Credit Union. Marshland Credit Union is here to help, no matter if it's a mortgage, car loan, or even finding financing for that boat you've always wanted. 7 convenient locations in Glen and surrounding counties, checking, savings, you name it. Marshland Credit Union wants to be the answer to your banking needs. MarshlandCU.com, 912-279-2000. Marshland Credit Union, a better way to bank. Welcome back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine, Orthopedic Surgery, and by Marshland Credit Union. Coach, I mentioned we scored the touchdown to go up 24-0 there on our first possession in the second half. Talk a little bit, again, I felt like another good drive, and, where we pretty much did what we wanted to do. Talk a little bit about that drive to put us up to 24-0.
Well, I mentioned earlier, last year one of our problems was that, the offense was new to us, and, we had a hard time sustaining drives because we couldn't go that many plays in a row without somebody making a mental mistake. And, it happened to us in the first game a little bit this year, but we're getting better at that. I'm not going to say we're there yet because you never know with kids, but we're getting better at that, and we've had some longer drives where we haven't made mental mistakes. And, when that's happening, you're able to control the pace of the game. You're able to control the clock. You're able to eat up chunks of yardage. You have to feel good about it. And, makes it easier calling plays. It makes it easier on the defense because they're standing on the sideline. All those things get better when you're able to drive the football. And, we had two drives against Brunswick that were longer than any drives we had all of last year. So that's a good sign. We just got to keep doing it. And, I think one of the things that's helping us right now, last year we had a pretty good offensive line. We had some physical talent and size there. But the offense was new and we made a lot of mistakes. This year we don't have that, physical talent that we had last year up front. We're not as big, we're not physically as gifted maybe with our offensive linemen, but the one thing they're getting pretty good at is not making mental mistakes. In our offense, you can live with that, they're getting better at that. And when they get better at that and they go the right way and, do the right thing, well, then we got a chance to block anybody. So I've seen that get a little bit better these last couple of weeks.
Coach, you mentioned about how well your defense played against Glenn. And, I think pretty much the word is out that when, anybody's playing the Red Terriers, you got to focus on number one and number two and number three, their quarterback, their running back, and their wide receiver. I thought defensively we did a great job. The Peacock kid, the running back, I noticed in the second half he was limping around because we had just punished him all game. And their receiver, David Prince, a lot of folks think that he's got NFL talent written all over him, and he was a complete non-factor in the football game. Talk a little bit about the job that your defense did on those two kids specifically.
Well, I agree with you. I think the receiver does have NFL size and talent, and he was scary in pregame, watching him in pregame. And the Peacock kid, we saw what he could do last year. We saw what he, was capable of in the first couple of games. So they were definitely concerns of ours, and, we tried to do the best job we could keeping them hemmed up, and for the most part we did. But the quarterback's a really good player too, and he hurt us. At some times on scrambles and keeping the ball in option, he hurt us a little bit. But, I thought they had a hard time protecting him when he went back to throw. And I thought that might have been a key in the game. But some of the things they liked to do, they couldn't get the ball to those guys as receivers because we were getting some pressure on them. And, our defensive front, even though Dylan Higginbotham couldn't play, we had some young kids step up and play really well, and I thought that might have been the key to it, that maybe our defensive line was a little bit better maybe than their offensive line.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So, Coach, we get up 37-0, and I I owe you an apology. I, dadgummit, I jinxed us. I sat there in the booth and I said, we're going to pitch a shutout. And it wasn't a minute after that came out of my mouth, they break a big one for a touchdown. What happened on that play?
Well, you know, it's frustrating, you know, to our starting unit, and it's frustrating to our defensive staff. It doesn't bother me as badly as I think it does those guys, you know, because they certainly want to get a shutout, and it's a big deal to them. But, you know, I think you got to play other kids. And, you know, we put them in, and we had two kids not fit the right gap, and we had some secondary guys get themselves out of position, and we gave up a 70-yard run or whatever it was. You know, they hadn't been out there three plays, I don't guess, you know. And, you know, everybody's mad at me because I made them put the subs in, you know. But, again, I wouldn't change anything in that situation, and it was good. I mean, it's the first time this year we've been able to play some of our other kids on offense and defense, and, you know, that used to be something that we did every week, and it used to be something that was a part of building our program, and we want to get back to it, but we just hadn't been able to yet. So, you know, you got to live with it. You put them in, they're not going to play perfectly. It's different. You know, playing on Friday night is a whole lot different playing on Thursday. And you got to get them out there and let them experience that every time you can. But, yeah, hard to watch when the defense plays so well for so long, you know, and then you sub for them, and three plays later you're lined up for extra point block. You know, that makes everybody mad.
Speaking of extra point block, I want to ask a question because we were as confused as all get out up in the booth. So
I know what you're going to ask.
We go for two. We get the two-point conversion, and then we end up kicking an extra point. Walk me through this.
Well, yeah, we did the little throw-over fake deal and scored. And, you know, there was a penalty on it. So, we, you know, I'm out there yelling, no, we'll decline the penalty, take the points. And, you know, and the referees, they got together and talked, and they said Glenn had lined up offsides, which should be a dead ball penalty. But the referee on Glenn's sideline who called the penalty did not blow his whistle until after the play. So they got together and talked about it and decided that he should have blown his whistle, so it reverted back to being dead ball. There was no play, so it's like the play did not exist. And so we could have took half a distance or declined it at that point, but that was our only options. So, yeah, that was an unusual one. We had something very similar happen like that in 2002 in the Georgia Dome against Brookwood. Uh-huh. And, where we threw the ball over and we scored, and they said we were not lined up correctly. And anyway, I don't know if you would remember this, Jason, but we were not supposedly lined up on the line as far, and we scored, which would have given us the lead late in that game in the semifinals. And they got together and talked, and they called it a dead ball penalty, but then didn't give us another play where we could kick the extra point and tie the game. And so, you know, I've seen a little bit of everything on that. But, yeah, the other night it wound up not hurting us. But, yeah, we should have had the two-point conversion, but they said it was a dead ball foul. And so, you know, they just forgot to blow the whistle in time, I guess, is what he said. See, he said my explanation that I got was he blew the whistle, but none of us heard him. That's what the official on our sideline said. So, again, thankfully it wasn't in a critical situation.
We'll be right back to the Camden County Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff here on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Family fun in the Golden Isles for all ages? Brunswick Adventures, family-friendly indoor play place. Bounce houses for the little ones and a trampoline park for all ages. Locally owned and operated. Don't forget the party rooms for your private events or that special birthday. Brunswick Adventures, 5581 Habersham Street in Brunswick, 912-342-7427 for more information. Or check us out online, brunswickadventures.com. Football season is here and we are going long at Jessup Furniture.
living room suits, dining room suits, patio furniture, luxury furniture at outlet prices, all the brands you like, Universal, Hooker, Ashley, and more. Jessup Furniture, over 50 years of helping people just like you. 651 Scranton Road in Brunswick, just down from Old Times. 912-267-1897, and look for daily deals on both Facebook and Instagram. Welcome back to the Camden County Wildcats Coaches Show with Head Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Jason Bishop. This segment is brought to you by Brunswick Adventures and by Jessup Furniture. Coach, before we move on, I wanted to say this in the last segment. We kind of ran out of time. We won Friday night 37-7, and it was not a game where we were playing a cream puff. Glenn, in my opinion, is a good football team. They came in 2-0, and they're a good football team, and I think when all is said and done, you'll see them in the playoffs. And I just kind of want to get your opinion and hear you talk to that about how good of a win Friday night was, because it was against a good football team.
Well, Glenn's always got good teams. I mean, you know, they don't have bad years. And, you know, Coach Hidalgo does a great job. His staff does. They're well coached. They always got a good plan. Defensively, you know, they always have a good plan. They got good kicker, punter, kids, good. So, you know, we knew they had a good football team. Now, you know, is their talent level as good as in some years, you know, when they had the kid that's, you know, played at Miami or whatever? Maybe not. But, you know, the Peacock kid is a special kid. The receiver is a special kid. The quarterback is. And, you know, so, you know, are they the best team we're going to play this year? Probably not. But are they a good football team? Yes, I agree with you completely. And, you know, it's a strange game. You know, it's we lost to Columbia, who, you know, I think if we played them 10 times, we beat them 9. You know, and we lost to Brunswick, and don't know the odds on that one, but I sure would like to play them again. You know, but we just played better, and we played with more confidence against Glenn. And you know, Rocky had told me during the week that you know, his kids were sitting there 2-0, and they were looking at us like, well, you know, Camden, you know, they're 0-2. And he said, you know, I was trying to convince them that, you know, they didn't understand. And you know, we're sitting there 0-2, you know, and I'm trying to convince everybody that, you know, look, we're not as bad as it seems at 0-2. So, you know, I think what happened was, you know, unfortunately for the Glenn kids, they found out that our 0-2 wasn't what they thought it was. And, you know, and thankfully we found out that our 0-2 wasn't what everybody thought it was. And it was what we thought it was, that, you know, we had lost to two good football teams. I mean, Lord, you know, Columbia is ranked 5th in the state right now. Mm-hmm. They're undefeated, and, you know, Brunswick's got a good football team. And so we had lost to two good football teams. I don't think we should have, you know, but we had. And so, you know, I felt like that, you know, our record was deceiving, and I feel like Glenn maybe didn't think our record was deceiving. They might have, you know, overlooked us a little bit. And it's tough as a head coach. I mean, you know, and Rocky knew it. He told me pregame, we talked about it again after the game, that, you know, he just felt like his kids didn't have a great week of practice because they felt like, you know, we were a winless football team and they didn't have to worry too much about us. And you know, as I told our kids, the worst, most dangerous animal is a wounded animal. And you know, we had had our pride and everything else wounded. And you know, we showed Friday night.
You're listening to the Wildcats Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. So now moving on, Coach, we are now 1-2 on the season, and we're going to be hosting Dade Christian from Miami. You had mentioned to me that they were, I think, a double-A school. Is that right?
I'm not really sure, Jason. I think they have been, you know, and they won a double-A state championship a few years ago, I think. And we don't know a lot about them. You know, we it was a game that we scheduled last spring. There's a guy that you know, helps a lot of South Georgia teams find out-of-state opponents, in which we all have to do because, you know, it's either that or drive to Atlanta. And so he had helped us find this game, and, you know, certainly he makes a little money by doing that, you know, and we were trying to find somebody that would, you know, come here to play. And we scheduled them, and I remember looking at film on them. I was very impressed. You know, they were well coached. They had a five-star receiver, a four-star receiver. Both of them had been offered by Florida State. You know, had a good football team, a lot of kids back. And, you know, they looked like a really good football team on tape from last year. Well, the crazy part is I believe it was July the 7th, their head coach resigns and takes another job in the Miami area. And when he did that, some of the players that played for him decided to transfer with him. And they hired a new coach who, ironically, had taken another job 2 weeks before, and he gave that job up, and he went to Miami-Dade Christian, who, you know, is a better program, I guess, than the one he had just taken. And so, you know, we heard a lot of kids left then and went with him. So we've tried to research everything we possibly can, and one of the articles I found in the Miami paper, the guy that tracks the college prospects down there, in this summer, as of last week, there have been in Dade County, there have been 270 kids change schools. And I was just shocked by that. And
that's staggering.
Oh, it is. You know, it's like Gwinnett County. It's like Gwinnett County on steroids, maybe. But, you know, there's just no rules down there. They can go wherever. And so a lot of the kids from Miami-Dade went with the new coach, with the old coach, to the avant-garde school that he went to. But then we think, you know, there were other kids that moved with the new coach. And they've added some kids, so we really just don't know what to expect. And it's, you know, that's scary. You know, someone like me, I like to prepare all week and watch film every night, and, you know, but we really, you know, the only thing we can do is we watch film on them from last year, and we watch film on the coach from the school he was at before, and try to make our best guess. But, you know, having a really good idea about personnel, we do not. And, you know, I told our kids yesterday, I said, the things I can guarantee you is when they get off the bus, they're going to look the part, they're going to be fast as all get out, and they're going to sling the ball around, and they're going to play, you know, you put the ball in the air, their chances of catching it are probably better than ours. And we put the ball in the air, their chances of catching it is probably better than ours. You know, it's just, that's what they do down there. You know, that's just how they play. And, you know, every time we've ever played a team from Miami, they've been loaded with athletes and they've had great team speed. And I don't think that's going to change no matter who it is. I think they will be very athletic and, you know, with some big kids. And, you know, even when I was at Grayson and we played one when I was at T.L. Hannah, same thing. So I know they will be a challenge for us, because of just the athleticism that all those teams in Miami have.
And in case you're sitting at home listening to this, or maybe in your car listening to this, and you know, you're hearing Coach Heron talk about, you know, we don't know much about him, and you think to yourself, well, why don't you just watch film? Well, the reason that we don't know much about him from this year is because they haven't played a game yet. This will be their first game of the season coming up here. Isn't that right?
It is. They played a spring game, you know, and we certainly watched it and, you know, studied it. But then again, the head coach left in July. So, you know, watching the spring game, I mean, they were impressive in the spring game. The receiver, the five-star receiver, I think he had three touchdowns in the first 6 minutes of the first quarter. I mean, they just could not guard him. And quarterback throws the ball well, had a really good running back, played really good on defense. But again, they've had a coaching change, and that five-star receiver went with him.
Oh, okay.
So, it's just I wish we knew more. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm sleeping better because I don't know more about them. But, you know, it's scary. But on the other side of that is it's a little exciting, because it means, you know, as a coaching staff and our kids, we got to be on our toes and be ready to adjust on Friday night to whatever we see.
And of course, one thing I did catch on their schedule from last year, they went 6-4 last year, and they played Bainbridge, and they lost to Bainbridge. I think this was like 35-12. So you know, if you're looking for some kind of parallel or some familiarity, there is a Bainbridge on their schedule from last year, 6-4 team. But again, you know, we just don't know.
Well, and the thing too is, you know, one of the things about that area is the team they had last year can be totally different than the team they have this year, because again, there's no rules on transferring, and kids can come and go as they please. And so, you know, they can change from week to week. You know, you just never know what you're going to get. And, you know, again, we're excited about having another home game. We're excited about getting to play again. Just wish we knew more about our opponent.
Thanks for joining us for the Camden County Coaches Show with Coach Jeff Heron on the Bishop Media Sports Network. For Coach Heron, I'm Jason Bishop signing off. Let's go, Cats!